The Saratoga Performing Arts Center continues its speaker series this week with Charles Fishman, author of The Big Thirst, The Secret Life, and Turbulent Future of Water. Water is going to turn out to be the most important and the most contentious resource issue for almost every country in the world in the next 50 years, even places like the U.S., where water has typically been abundant, safe, and inexpensive. Climate change, economic growth, and the growing middle class around the world will put pressure on water supplies like never before. Charles Fishman will be speaking about the issue again on the SPAC stage Thursday, September 12th at 8 p.m., and it's a great pleasure to welcome Charles Fishman to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Well, be nice to have you in town talking about this. So give us a sense. This book was written a few years ago, several years ago. Give us a sense of where we are when it comes to water right now and what's been happening over the last several years since this book came out.
You know, by the pure poor luck of the world, water has become more relevant in the last 4 or 5 years, and it's going to be more and more important to understand what's going on with water in the next 50 years. Almost all the impacts of climate change, except for a very few, are water related. And climate change is reshaping how much water falls as rain, how much water falls as snow, who gets what water, where that water falls. And all those things are relevant to how cities are run, how our food is raised. We're in the early stages of the 2019 hurricane season, which is already proving to be devastating. And so the book I wrote, the sort of world I plunged into, was trying to understand two things. What is our relationship to water, and how do we manage it, and why do we often manage it poorly? And so trying to understand and explain those things is more relevant than ever, because you all in the Saratoga Springs area, you actually have this great relationship with water. It's part of the texture of the community every day. That's true in all kinds of places. New York City has a relationship with water. Miami Beach has a relationship with water, each a little different. What's interesting is that we don't often connect our sort of emotional relationship with water to managing it well. And we need to start making that connection, because how we run our water systems is going to be really important for everybody over the next 50 years.
So through this talk, you take us around the world and show us what water problems look like, how they happen, and ultimately solutions. Let's start there, actually, with solutions of what we've seen of what works around the world.
Well, look, the good news is that unlike a lot of things, there's a finite number of water problems. There are, 29 water problems in the world. Every water problem falls into one of those categories, and we know how to fix every one of them. We know how to deal with too much water. We know how to deal with too little water. The real problem is that people don't pay attention. My favorite current example is a factory in California. It's the factory where carnation evaporated milk is made. The factory's been there for 30 years. They take in raw milk straight from dairy farms. They pasteurize it. They evaporate half the water off of it, and they put it in a can. That's evaporated milk. It's basically just concentrated milk with half the water removed. They have for 30 years been throwing away the water that they remove from the milk. That's the whole manufacturing process. Heat it up and remove the water. They throw away that water, which is almost distilled in terms of its clarity and quality. It's evaporate water. And then they buy water at the front end of the factory to run the whole factory. And then they pay to throw away the water that runs the factory. And they also pay to throw away the water that comes off the milk. In the middle of the last drought, literally just 3 years ago, the chief engineer at the factory said, "We throw away as much water from the milk as we buy every day. This is crazy. We have all the water we need to run our factory in the milk that we use every day." That factory which is Carnation is part of Nestle, is on a major drive to become what Nestle calls a zero water facility. They are trying to live just on the water that they have been removing from the milk every day for 30 years. And literally the numbers are almost exactly the same to run the factory as the water they take out and throw away. And so the truth is that there are water is so below our consciousness that just by paying attention to it, you can begin to do dramatic things and change the way you work. And so there are all kinds of ways of helping farmers produce food with less water. And, you know, in the United States, 15 years ago, the average American used 103 gallons of water at home. Now we use 85 gallons of water at home. The average use in the American home per person has come down by 15% in 15 years. That's huge. And so small changes make big differences, but the real key is to pay attention.
So one of the problems, of course, and this is a gross oversimplification, and I apologize, but I think you'll know what I'm going for here, is that there are areas of the world, areas of our country, that simply do not have enough water. It is very scarce. And yet there are other areas that are gurgling underneath all of the water that they have. So how do we level that playing field?
Well, you know what, Joe, that's actually a great question and a really important question. And you don't. Saratoga Springs is a perfect example of a place that is, in fact, gurgling in far more water than it needs. The entire Hudson River Valley has ample water. That doesn't mean you're not going to have droughts. That doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. It also doesn't mean that if you guys are careful, that somehow helps people living in Phoenix, Arizona, or Las Vegas, Nevada. The truth is that all water problems are local. The point of the people in Saratoga Springs and New York understanding how water works is that, first of all, you're going to have your own water problems. And second of all, you all, just like everybody else in the U.S., will need to sort of come up with a set of thoughts about what you think is good water policy. And that's the way you can help the people in Las Vegas and the people in Arizona. No, you shouldn't flush your toilet more than you need to. You shouldn't take a longer shower than you need to. Even if you have plenty of water, you're wasting energy and cleaning costs and all kinds of things. Don't use more water than you need to. But also, the people in Las Vegas, the people in Tucson, the people in California in the middle of a drought, they need a different strategy because they don't have ample water. Las Vegas is a perfect example. In Las Vegas, they actually recycle 94% of the water that is used anywhere in the city indoors. They capture every gallon of water, clean it, put it right back into the big reservoir, Lake Mead, and reuse it again. That would be foolish for you guys. It would be an incredible waste of effort to capture all your water, clean it, and reuse it. There's fresh water coming. Every community needs its own water policy, but we also need a little better sense of what it means to manage water smartly in a place like New York State and what it means to manage water smartly in a place like Arizona. And it's okay for us to know something about the other place because everybody's going to need their own strategy. And in the end, those strategies require culture changes and also, of course, money.
And then there is the global outlook, which, of course, has us look squarely at climate change. So when it comes to that issue, and it comes, quite frankly, down to a dereliction of duty by many nations in this world, then what do we do about that, given that we are turning our backs on a key resource?
Well, look, the good news and the bad news about water is you cannot ignore water problems, right? More rain fell on Houston a couple years ago during one hurricane during 2 days than normally falls in a year or a year and a half. What happened in the Bahamas, what is happening right, you know, as you and I are talking in the Carolinas from Hurricane Dorian, you can't ignore water problems. And you know what? You know that instinctively. If you see a little damp spot in the upper corner of your living room or your dining room where the roof is leaking, you don't say to your spouse, hey, it looks like the roof's leaking. Let's see if it takes care of itself. Water problems only ever get worse. And so the key is to say, look at what climate change is doing. The rainfall is shifting 300 miles north or 300 miles west. We're going to need to change our farming practices to adapt to that. We're going to need to help the farmers do that adapting, because it's not the farmers who are at risk. It's all of our food supply. Hey, look, water that used to fall as snow and last all the way through spring into summer and melt slowly as water supply falls as rain now, and it runs off in a day instead of lasting 3 months. I guess it's not going to be the water supply for this community for the spring and summer anymore. We're going to have to, you have to pay attention, and you have to not cover your eyes. Water requires you to see the world clearly and honestly. Then you can fix things. What you can't do is say, no, I hope the problem goes away. Water problems, water showing up where we don't expect it, that is flooding that's happening in coastal regions, not just in the U.S., but India, Bangladesh, Vietnam, all kinds of places. Water disappearing from places where we have grown food. We need to see those things clearly and move to adapt. It's not a problem for tomorrow or for 10 years from now. We need to be realistic and on it. We have the skills to fix these problems. We even have the money. What we can't afford to do is wait. If we wait, this is one of those moments when people are literally going to die if we ignore the problem.
Yeah, you say you can't ignore water problems, but it seems that's what we're doing right now, isn't it?
It depends on where you live. You know, Charleston, South Carolina has literally a flood event every week on average, 50 a year when there used to be 10. Well, they are furiously adapting their city. They're not, in fact, covering their eyes. They're thinking about new real estate policies, new zoning policies, what to do about the places that flood regularly where there was never it's seawater running through the streets of the city of Charleston. They're even thinking about developing a new kind of development right that encourages people to take their developable land that's in a flood zone and move elsewhere and leave the land open so that the city can adapt to flooding. So there are places that are doing it, but I would say it's totally case by case, right? Some communities are adapting. Some regions are adapting. California 2 years ago passed a huge new water law. That won't change what happens in California, you know, this summer or even next summer. But 10 years from now, water will be handled in a completely different and much more sustainable way in California than now, because that law will gradually take effect and change habits. So it completely depends on where we are. But that's why I'm coming to SPAC to talk, precisely because I think there's an important moment here, and it's a moment to appreciate that we have the skills we need to fix the problem. What we don't always have is the attention to the problem. And we are used to thinking, well, somebody else will take care of that. This is one of those moments when we have to step up and say, we understand this is important, and we want you to pay attention to it.
Charles Fishman is the author of The Big Thirst, The Secret Life and Turbulent Future of Water. He will be speaking on Thursday, September 12th at SPAC on the main stage at 8 p.m. You can find out more by going to SPAC.org, SPAC.org. Charles, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
I look forward to coming to Saratoga Springs.
Thank you very much. Again, you can find out more by going to SPAC.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.